Church, what we do matters. You guys realize that? What we do matters. What we say matters. Every action that we take, every word that we speak, it all matters. I believe, and you've probably heard me say this before, but I believe that Jesus has created each one of us on purpose, for a purpose, and I believe that his plan for each and every one of our lives is important, even though they may look different, right? Each one is as important as the next. There's no one person that has a purpose that doesn't matter. Amen? Thank you, Mark, for your participation. You guys can leave me and Mark and have church. I don't know, maybe you didn't hear what I said, but there's no one person who has a purpose that doesn't matter. Amen? All right, that's good. Some of you guys maybe wasn't believing that for a minute, but I hope you do now. But we do know that some are called to more prominent roles, right? More upfront, more visible roles, but some are called to behind-the-scenes roles and doing the work that they don't often get enough credit for. But what we do know is the Holy Spirit works in us to make those roles wonderfully work together toward the same goal, the same mission, to advance the kingdom of God on the earth. And so in Philippians, Paul gives us some instruction on how you can do your part in this. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1 this morning, verse 27 to 30. It says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that so whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me." Paul says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. I want to ask you something this morning. Are we worthy? Do you think we're worthy? Do you think we're worthy? Do we think we deserve the gospel? Do you think we deserve Jesus dying on the cross as a payment for our sin? Do you think we deserve him being substituted for our lives because of what we have done? Do we deserve that? No, we don't deserve it. Of course we don't. But while we are not worthy, his sacrifice says we were worth it. Right? There's a difference there. We don't deserve it, but he says you are worth it. And Jesus' death on the cross to pay for our sin and the Father's acceptance of that in the resurrection, it says that in God's eyes that you and I have great worth. You and I have great worth, great value. And Paul says to let our conduct, the things that we do, the things that we say, the way that we act, let these things be worthy of the gospel. It's almost like he's saying, act like you're born again, right? Act like the new creation that you are in Christ. Every once in a while, I do something that I see the old Tim trying to come back to life. You guys, anybody relate with that? You do something and you're like, wait a minute, that's not who I am anymore. That person died. I'm now new in Christ Jesus. You got to put that person to death again. Don't let them come around and rise up. But we have a way that we're supposed to act because we're new. And I think about little kids. Have you ever seen a little kid, you know, the newly walking kid, just can walk and talk a little bit, and walking around, and they start crying that their feet hurt. And as they're crying that their feet hurt, and you're just kind of thinking, okay, well, they're just being whiny. They're just fussy, you know, they need a nap, whatever. Whatever it is, you just kind of dismiss them like they're not, it's not really a big deal. Their feet just, they're just crying and complaining that their feet hurt. And then all of a sudden, if you were to start to pay attention to them, You look down and you notice that their shoes are on the wrong feet. Anybody ever done that as a parent? I know I did it more than once, okay? You look down and their shoes are on the wrong feet and you're like, oh my goodness, I am so, so sorry. I didn't realize that your shoes are on the wrong feet. And you switch them around and they begin to walk a little bit and it's kind of like, hey, this isn't so bad anymore. This isn't so painful. And the tears start to dry up and a smile returns to their face. And what happened is you put their shoes on the right feet and now they can act like they were supposed to, right? It kind of gives them that ability. Something changes, and this is what our lives are like, church. We start out, spiritually speaking, with our shoes on the wrong feet, right? Life is painful and hard, and we're whining and complaining like, woe is me, all this stuff. And when you meet Jesus, right, when you have that encounter with him and you're made new, it's like he says, I'm sorry, child, sit down and let me fix this for you. And he puts our shoes on the right feet, right? Something changes in our lives and it gives us that ability to now act the way that we were supposed to, the way that we were intended to. And this is kind of what Paul's saying with let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. Jesus said that you have great worth and value. He said that with his actions. As he put himself on that cross, he allowed himself to be put on that cross, and you have a responsibility because of what he's done in your life to show that this good news, this gospel of grace, you get to show that it has great value and great worth. And so everything that we do ought to shout, Jesus says, I'm worth it all. Right, we were singing earlier that it's worth it all. This life, the things we go through are worth it all for Jesus. But he said you are worth it all when he died on that cross. And our actions ought to echo that and say, you know what? He says I am worth it all. But by the way I live my life, I'm saying that he is worth it all. This word conduct in the Greek, it means to behave as a citizen. Behave as a citizen, but not just a citizen, right? There's a lot of citizens in the United States. There's a lot of bad citizens in the United States. But it says, behave as a citizen, but not just a citizen, but a good citizen that brings honor to the one whom he belongs. That's what he's saying with let our conduct be worthy of the gospel is we are to be good citizens that bring honor to the one that we belong to. To make this a little more clear to you, think about the Olympics. When we watch the Olympics, what do we have? We have all these athletes from around the world representing their countries, right? We know them by their countries. In fact, most of them, you look at them and you don't know who they are. You don't know what their name is, but when you look at them, you can quickly identify who they belong to, right? You look at their country. You look at what is being displayed on them. You can see who they represent. And now these athletes, not only are they the best in the world, but they are honored to represent their country, right? They wear their country's colors. They wear their country's flag, unless you're Russia, cheaters, you know, that's just how it works. But the rest of them get to wear their country's name and flag and colors and display who they belong to proudly. And as they do that, they are showing the world, this is to whom I belong and I'm not ashamed of it, right? I'm honored to be a representative of my country. I don't know about you, but I love the United States of America. Anybody else love the USA? I mean, praise God, the best nation on earth. I'm proud to be an American. I'm also blessed that it was God's plan for my life to be able to live here in this free land. Amen? I mean, don't discount how great that is and how much of a blessing that it is that God chose you to be born here, to live here and to not be in some country that is oppressed and you know, you get murdered for your faith and all these things, but you were blessed to be an American, to live in a free land. And as much as I love this country, and I do love America, I'm going to tell you a secret. This place is my secondary citizenship. This place is my secondary citizenship. I'm a dual citizen. Some of you are thinking, dude, you don't look like you're from anywhere else. You barely speak English. You probably can't speak any other language. I can't. I can speak in tongues, okay? But I'm a dual citizen, and America is not number one for me. It's not number one for me because heaven is number one for me because I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen? I'm a citizen of heaven, and with my life, before being American, with my life, I want to honor the one to whom I belong, and his name is Jesus. Amen? I don't belong to Joe Biden. I don't belong to Donald Trump. I don't belong to any of those things. I am a citizen of this country, but I belong to Jesus. That is my home, my first on my priority list, and that's why what I do matters, and what I say matters, every action, every word, it all matters, because we should take great honor in our heavenly citizenship. We should take great honor in it. It was purchased at a great price, church, through our Savior's blood, right? And this reality should never leave our minds. It should never leave our minds. You know, when we think about America, how great this nation is, why is this nation so great? Because a lot of people died. A lot of people died for this nation to be great. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for that. I am so thankful for that. God bless every one of them and their families. I pray that they all found Jesus. I pray that in their dying moments that they found him. But I'm thankful for that freedom. But I'm going to tell you that that freedom does not compare to the freedom that we have in Christ, the one who died to save us forever. I mean, that is the greatest sacrifice ever known to man. And as citizens of heaven, that should never leave our minds. And as citizens of heaven, we ought to look a little different. Amen? We should have a new language, different clothing, different attitudes. It ought to appear different. It's like Paul saying, whatever happens in this life, whatever you go through, always remember your citizenship. Always remember that you belong to heaven. Be worthy. Behave like a citizen of heaven. And he tells us how to do this. He says one thing that you do is you stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast in one spirit. It's great to know who you belong to, but you also need to know who's with you. You also need to know who guides you. You also need to know who empowers you, who equips you, who comforts you, who gives you the ability to overcome. We need to stand fast in one spirit. Church, we're in a day and an age and a time where churches are compromising the gospel to put butts in seats and to put money in plates. That's terrifying, church. And we will never, Connection Church will never be a church that compromises the gospel to put butts in seats and money in plates. We will never do it. We will never do it. And praise God for godly leadership that will make sure that it never happens. But these churches are compromising the gospel. They're watering it down so they don't hurt feelings and keep people coming back. I'm going to tell you, there's a way that you can preach the truth and not hurt feelings and keep people to come back. That's to preach it in love. That's to actually care about the people you're preaching to want to relay the truth to them, to help them to be free, not to condemn them, okay? And there's a difference there. Now, on the other hand, half the time, offense is your own problem, your own issue, right? Because you will be offended at the truth of the Word of God at times. There's times I'm offended at it, and I'm like, I don't like that, right? Because I want to do what I want to do. You know what? That's your problem. That's my problem when it's me. And that's between us and the Lord. So it's not about catering to people's feelings and needs to get them to come back. I don't want a church full of people that aren't saved and don't know the truth. What good is that? Right? We want people who are set free. Amen? They're set free, who belong to Jesus. And so when we behave like a citizen of heaven, right? When we behave like a citizen of heaven, we ought to be standing fast. That means to hold our ground. To hold our ground, to not be moved in one spirit. And that spirit is the one that testifies of the truth. 1 John 4:13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. In John 15:26, it says, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, will testify of me. Church, it's all about Jesus. Being in one spirit, being the citizen of heaven, standing fast in one spirit, it's not just about standing your ground. It's about standing your ground for the cause of Christ, led by the Spirit of God. It's not just about having a voice. It's about having a voice for heaven, standing together, standing in unity. I'm going to tell you something. The devil brings division. The devil brings division, and even brings division in the church. How does he do that? By appealing to our flesh. Appealing to what we want, what our preferences are, what our ideas are, what our style is. These things become the priority for us. They end up becoming the mission for us. And if the leadership thinks otherwise, right, you cause problems or leave the church. That's what we typically see happen. And what goes wrong in those situations is we're not standing fast in one spirit. We're not standing fast in one spirit. We're not letting our conduct be worthy of the gospel. Church, we're here to please Jesus, not man. Amen? We're here to please Jesus. And so Paul says, if you stand fast in one spirit, then you can stand fast in one mind. If you're on the same page spiritually, if it's we're going after Jesus, we're doing his work, we're believing and we know that this is his church, that these are his leaders, that these are his people, and that we're submitted to his spirit, church, we're gonna start to think alike, because we start to think like he does. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, right? They're higher. They're greater. Whatever ideas we got, his are better. Amen? They're always better. And as we begin to stand in unity in the Spirit, we begin to hear his voice at a greater measure. We pray for that on Thursday nights a lot. We pray for that in elder meetings, in board meetings, for us to hear his voice. We pray for us to hear what he is saying. And so when we all are in that mode and we're beginning to think alike because we're thinking like he does, we have the same Spirit leading and guiding our hearts, we can strive together for the faith of the gospel. Strive together for the faith of the gospel. Think about what Paul has laid out for us. He said, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, first by acting like a citizen of heaven, right? Then stand fast in one spirit, then in one mind, and then strive together. Do you know what we could accomplish, church, if the people of God, I mean, even outside of Connection Church, I'm saying the people of God, all together, if we were striving together. To strive means to try hard. But beyond that, it means to contend. It means to battle. It means to make strenuous effort toward your goal. That pressing through the crowd, that's striving, right? I mean, it's strenuous effort to your goal to get to where you want to be. And when we look back at the Olympics again, what are all these U.S. athletes, what are they all trying to do? Every one of them is just trying to win their event. Just trying to win their event. They may be trying to win a single event. They may be trying to win a team event. Some may be easy, some may be more difficult, some may be new, some may be old, but they're just trying to win one event at a time. They're going to try hard in every one. And if you think for a second that those people didn't work and train and build their stamina and their power to be able to do that event and give everything they got, then you're crazy, right? They're giving it all for that one event. And they may do multiple events, but right now they're doing everything they can for this one event, this one thing. They contend every time. They make strenuous effort toward the goal every time. And what is the goal? The goal ultimately is to see their country with the most medals at the end of the games. But that doesn't always happen, right? The USA doesn't always get first place, do they? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, but no matter what happens at the end of the day, they go up there on that platform and they know that they strive together. They worked hard every time, contended every race, every event, they competed every time, and what happens is at the end of the day, no matter what the results were, they hold up the flag that they represent. They do it proudly, and they know that they did all that they could to be a good citizen and to represent their country. Church, that's a picture of what it ought to look like for you and for me. What it ought to look like for the church is that every one of us, every day, we're striving to win. We're striving to win for Jesus. We're striving to win for the kingdom of God, for heaven. Whatever it takes, I'm going all out. Whatever it takes, I'm going all out to witness to this one person, to help this person, to pray for this person, to do the work of God. I'm going all out for this one thing, and I believe that when we do it together, we ultimately come to a great, great victory. And as we do that, we are good ambassadors for Christ. Strive together, try hard together, contend, battle, make strenuous effort together, not against one another. You hear that? Church to church, not against one another. We're all in this together, right? If you worship Jesus, if you are born again, hey, we're with you. We're on the same team, amen? I mean, that really ought to be our heart. We're not in competition with the other churches in our community. We're not. We're not in competition. We're on the same team. We get a couple medals, they get a couple medals. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, we get to stand on the podium together. Praise God. That's what it's all about. This is because we are striving together, because that's how we win the most medals at the end of the day. Working together, rooting for each other, lifting high the name of Jesus each and every day, just like those athletes do in their events. And so what do you represent in your lives? What do you represent? I'm not saying you got to throw away all of your other t-shirts and just wear Team Jesus t-shirts. I'm not talking about what do you represent like that. I'm talking about what do you represent with the way that you live your life. What do you represent? If it's Jesus, we ought to let it be known. We ought to let it be known that we're going to be an opponent of division and that we're going to choose to strive together in unity in the Spirit with one mind for the cause of Christ, for the faith of the gospel is where Paul lands that ship at. He says, on the faith of the gospel. And this is it right here. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel so that you can strive together for the faith of the gospel. Do you believe in the gospel, church? Do you believe in it? I mean the whole thing. I mean the full gospel. We get asked sometimes, are you guys a full gospel church? And I say, you better believe it, because there ain't no part of it that I don't want, right? I'm saying there really is nothing that God has for me that I don't want. I'll take it all. Salvation in Christ alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New life free from sin. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Power to overcome. Victory over the enemy. Freedom, healing, deliverance. I want it all. Right? If God has any of that stuff for me, I want it all. And if you believe in the gospel, then church, we ought to act like it. It ought to show in our lives. Amen? Let our conduct show it, that we're in this together forever, and there's nothing that we won't do to destroy and drive out the enemy every single time he tries to bring division through these doors. Every time he tries to bring division in our hearts, in our lives. When me and Christy do premarital counseling, we always try to tell them, listen, marriage is not about winning against one another. It's about winning together. And every time you start to try to win against one another, you both lose. You both lose. It's not about who gets to be right this time. Who wins the argument this time? It's about how do we work together that we can win in our relationship as one. Amen? That's how it ought to be for us, church, as the church. That we don't win when we have division against each other. So we're going to argue about what color to get, you know, the curtains or whatever. And it's like, well, you got team blue over here and team red over here. Of course, we're going to go with blue. Who wants cardinal curtains? The decision has been made. We're in one spirit and one mind. It's already been made. No, but I mean, really, people will get in arguments and leave churches over things like that. It's like, who cares? Mix it together, get purple. I don't really care. I mean, at the end of the day, we ought to be working together. How can we please God and advance the kingdom of God on this earth? And at the end of the day, if those things don't matter, there's a lot of things people ask me about around the church, and I'm like, you know what? Talk to these people. They're in charge of that. There's a lot of stuff that I don't care. Like, at the end of the day, I don't care what things look like. There are people who do, and they're gifted in that and skilled in that. Praise God. We have a decorating committee. I'm thankful for them that they get to make those kinds of decisions. Because at the end of the day, I don't care. I don't care. I care about lives changed. And those things, I'm not saying they don't matter, because sometimes they are what draws people in or appeal to people, and those things are great. I'm just saying at the end of the day, I just want the decision to be made that whatever it takes, whatever we have to do to please God and advance his kingdom, that's the answer that I vote for. At the end of the day, that's what I desire. If you came to one of our board meetings, I believe that you would see that that is our heart when we gather together and make decisions for the church. We've got to be willing to drive out and destroy the enemy every time, because Paul said, do not in any way be terrified of your adversaries. Do not in any way be terrified. Church, we got nothing to be scared about if we've got the Spirit of God. Amen? Nothing. Ephesians 6:12, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We don't have a people problem. We have a spiritual problem. And the enemy is Satan. It's not people. And really, he's not even really that much of a problem for you and for me if we conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven. You realize that? You realize he's really not that much of a problem for you? You realize he's not really that much of a threat to you if you are walking in Christ? He's really not. Jesus has already overcome, right? Don't be troubled, because he's already overcome. If we realize that we represent heaven and we stand fast in one spirit and one mind and we strive together for the gospel, church, we win every single time. Every time. What we do matters, and what we say matters. Every action, every word, it all matters. Can we start to ask ourselves before we speak and before we act, is this worthy of the gospel? Is it worthy? Is the thing I'm getting ready to say, is it worthy of the gospel? Are the things I'm getting ready to do, are they worthy of the gospel? Was it worth Jesus going to the cross so that we could strive against each other? I don't think it was. I don't think it's worth him going to the cross so that we could strive against each other. But was it worth him going to the cross so we could strive together for the faith of the gospel? Well, he said it was. Right? He said that it was. And if he says it's worth it, then you better believe that it was worth it. Amen? Would you stand to your feet in this place? You know, this morning, as we consider this word and we consider this call to a unity in Christ because we are to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. There's a couple of things that God had put on my heart for this. And it's that, first of all, that we all have a tendency to cause a little bit of division because we all have our own ideas and our own minds and our own hearts. And I think that a lot of those things are good because it is good to have difference of opinion. It is good to have a different point of view. It is good to see things differently. God created us all different, and I'm thankful for that, aren't you? The problem is when we're unwilling to hear someone else's point of view. When we're unwilling to maybe hear maybe what God might be speaking in situations, we're all guilty of causing a little bit of disunity because we have a little bit of selfishness. So if you guys would close your eyes, I just want you to, if you're willing and able, to lift your hands to heaven. And Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, but right now, Lord, we repent. Lord, we repent for our selfishness, for those times when we're set on having it our way, when we're set on getting what we want, when we're unwilling, first of all, to yield to your Spirit and what you might be speaking and what you want. But God, we're also sorry. We also repent for when we're unwilling to hear what others may think that may be different from us because you may be speaking through them. And so, God, I just pray that as we repent for our unbelief, we repent for our selfishness, we repent for our disunity, Lord God, that you would heal any wrongs, that you would right any wrongs that we've committed there, that you'd begin to restore any relationships that may be broken. God, that you would do that mighty, mighty work in our hearts. And so we give that over to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your call to unity. I praise you, Lord, for your Spirit. I praise you for your Spirit that is within us. Lord, that it's one Spirit. One Spirit. Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came. We thank you that you live within us. God, we thank you for your empowerment to be an overcomer, to be a witness. That not only do we hear and know the truth because of your leading, but that by your power we can testify of the truth. That we can live a life worthy of the gospel. That we can conduct ourselves in a way that we honor the one to whom we belong. But it's all with your help. It's all with your guidance. It's all with your presence. It's all by your voice. Lord, I pray that we be those believers. That it's not about building a kingdom in Connection Church. It's about building a kingdom that's going to overtake this world. Building a kingdom that continues to drive out the enemy. Building a kingdom that continues to pursue Jesus and his promises and his path for us. Lord, that we be a group of believers that are ready to link arms with other believers outside of this building, that we say we're in it together. We support you. We build you up. We lift you up. Let's go. Let's go and get the enemy. Let's go and take back what the enemy has stolen from the kingdom of God. Let's go back and save souls and change lives and show people the love of God in a way that they've never seen it. God, would you do that in our hearts, in our lives right now? In Jesus' name, amen.